Get out of every business you're in, every one of them, sell them, and stay in the business you've paid your dues to be in.
Hello, everybody. It's Chick Senzio, host of the Wheelbarrow Profits Podcast, here with my co-host, the multifamily mentor, the coach, chef, the father of six, the best-selling author, the G-Daddy, Gino Barbaro. Gino, how's it going?
Mr. Stenziano, doing great. Just got off a great weekend for the Money Mixer, 150 students on a bus doing bus tours. But I'm even more excited about today's guest. I want everyone, paper and pen, because this is going to be a lesson today, people.
I'm really excited about this one because I, as we know, am the I'm a do this, I'm a do that, I'm a do everything. And I'm a gets burned out. And I'm a went through this gentleman's book back in the day. So without further ado, today's guest is Michael Gerber. Inc. Magazine refers to Michael as the world's number one small business guru with over 40 years of impacting lives of millions of small business owners and influencing thousands of companies. It's hard to argue with that assessment. Number one New York Times bestseller of the E-Myth, Michael Gerber. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you. A delight.
Michael, what I really want to unpack is, tell us what it took to gain the knowledge and experience to write the E-Myth, and a book that's positively impacted, without a doubt, thousands, if not millions of lives.
Well, first of all, millions.
Yeah. Millions.
Thank you. What it took was doing it with a mindset to growing beyond it. In other words, had we not started our business way back then in 1977, Tom and I, there wouldn't be an E-Myth. Mm-hmm. And hadn't we not gone to work on our business as we were prone to do, we never would have had the experience needed to be able to write the book that effectively has changed the lives of millions of people. So yeah, that's what it was. That's what I did. And that's why I'm here.
So Michael, I really need to dive into the book and the three different types of people, the technician, the manager, and the entrepreneur. Let's set the stage first with that, because everybody in the restaurant business, I was the technician, and that's why my business failed. So can we define those real three quick and then continue along?
Well, the technician is the doer. Mm-hmm. Doing it, busy. Mm-hmm. And as you both know, the vast majority of people who start their own business started as a technician with no thought beyond being a technician, doing the work, a real estate agent, a chiropractor, an oral surgeon, makes no difference. They start what they do as a technician and continue to do it without ever understanding they got to grow beyond that if anything's going to happen worthwhile. Mm-hmm. The second is the manager. And the manager is the one who looks upon the technician and organizes the technicians around him or her in order to produce more consistent results. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there's the entrepreneur, and the entrepreneur is who I call the creator. Walt Disney called the Imagineer, Disney Imagineering. The Imagineer, the entrepreneur, is the creator of growth. Without an entrepreneur, there would be no growth. Mm-hmm. Without an entrepreneur, growth couldn't happen. Mm-hmm. And so the entrepreneur is the leader, the Imagineer, the creator, the designer, and the builder, the launcher, the grower of a great growing enterprise.
That's an excellent assessment, everybody. Now, everyone listening, take a step back and think of where you fall. What bucket do you fall in? I know when I read the book back in 2008, it took me a little while. I was the technician. I was the pizza guy. I had one shop. I wanted to expand, but I didn't know how to. I just kept doing. I was working in the business, not on the business. And it took me to meet Jake Stenziano and buy a couple hundred apartment units to start growing and then have that entrepreneurial vision. So make an honest assessment of yourself as you're listening to Michael speak. Where do you fall? And you can grow. You just need to be conscious. You need to be aware of where you are. And reading Michael's book will shed so many different, you know, so much light on where you need to be. Michael, answer this question. Who goes into business?
Well, typically who goes into business is a technician wanting to create a better job for himself. Mm-hmm. In short, the constant refrain is, I gotta make all the money. Mm-hmm. In other words, instead of the boss paying me a little bit of money, I want to take home all the money. So I'm going to do this myself. Mm-hmm. That's how most businesses are started, out of the need to make more money, mm-hmm. out of the need to make it on my own. Mm-hmm. And with all the wrong thinking behind it. Mm-hmm. So technicians start all businesses. Fortunately, there is someone called an entrepreneur. And entrepreneurs create everything. So I'm not to say that all entrepreneurs are great entrepreneurs, because they aren't. But without entrepreneurs, economic development wouldn't happen. Without entrepreneurs, growth wouldn't happen. Without entrepreneurs, Apple wouldn't happen. Microsoft wouldn't happen. Google wouldn't happen. Without entrepreneurs, no great companies would ever have occurred, and none ever will.
Michael, I'm getting this vision right now of a caterpillar becoming a butterfly, because I do believe that entrepreneurs can start off as the technicians and then go through a metamorphosis. Because in my own experience, I was the technician. I'm going to tell you how stupid I was. We bought a 25 unit apartment complex. I was carrying tile in, trying to lay tile floors. I bought this orange lawnmower. I'm trying to mow the lawn. I'm working a full-time job. I have this burner cell phone that I'm taking leasing calls on. I'm scheduling tours from Monday to Thursdays and Fridays, you know, and then Saturday mornings. I'm knocking around doors at 8 a.m. wondering why people aren't awake wanting to pay me rent. Complete idiot, okay? And this is where it started, but my mind expanded. And I want to thank you, because it was 2005, and I was meeting with Jim Clayton, a gentleman that sold his company to Warren Buffett, and he turned me on to your book. He owned a bank at the time, and I was telling him, we're buying a 150-unit apartment complex. I said, look, Mr. Clayton, whatever happens, I will fill in. If someone doesn't show up, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll do everything. And he said, Jake, I love your energy, but you're not looking at this correctly. And he actually recommended your book, and that was 2015, and then Juno and myself really became just disciples and just, you know, really dove into systems and processes. So I want to thank you for that, but maybe share some stories or explain how you've seen people go from that inchworm inching along as the technician and growing and learning through to true entrepreneurs.
Well, yeah, I mean, the hundreds of thousands of clients we've had over the years, they all started primarily as you did.
Yes.
When I said, doing it, you just told me your version of that, you know,
Correct. You're
stupid, buys an apartment building. And I was working in the apartment building.
Yes. He's doing everything.
Got the worst job in the world. He's mowing the lawn. He's cleaning the toilets. He's doing this. He's doing that. And, you know, God, we all know how many owners of property are doing it. I got to do it. I got to get it done. And until they get beyond that, they're screwed, because they aren't going to be able to get the second unit, the third unit, the fourth. They're not going to be able to scale. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, every single client of ours started as a technician suffering from an entrepreneurial seizure. But they'd read the book and they said, help me. I get it. Now understand, everybody who reads the book doesn't get it. meaning we've had millions of readers of my book, but we haven't had millions of people come and say, help me, help me, help me. And I know that the people who don't say, help me, help me, help me, even if they read the book, they're going to miss the point completely because they'll simply forget the book and continue doing it, doing it, doing it, doing it. Something's got to happen in between. And that happened with you. So your fortune was that you and your partner read the same book. And Jake and Gino reinforced each other's understanding of the book. And when one of you started doing it, doing it, doing it, the other one said, hey, Jake, cool it. That's not our job. Remember the book. Remember when Gerber said, work on it, not in it. You went back to working in it. We've got to remind each other, never, never do that anymore. Otherwise, we can't grow. And you know that's what happened.
100%.
Well, Jake, also, we shattered a lot of limiting beliefs. I went to coaching school, life coaching. So a lot of us have those limiting beliefs of being a son of an immigrant. When your dad tells you, you need to work in that restaurant, you need to be there, because if you're not there, things aren't going to get done. That weighs a lot on your conscience for years and years and years. And until you realize that and say, hold on a second, that's a limiting belief. It's an assumption because I've assumed it my whole life, but it really is a limiting belief. And since dad passed away back in 2007, I said, there may be a different way. Now I have an excuse not to blame my father anymore. Let me try something new. And I don't want to be washing dishes anymore in the kitchen. So how do I do it? I couldn't figure out in the restaurant business, but I said, this multifamily, this apartment thing, we can scale. We can hire property managers. We can hire maintenance techs, and we can pull ourselves out of the business. And where's the true value in real estate? It's in the analysis. It's in the underwriting. It's in buying the properties and having people help you manage the properties. So for us, that was the inflection point. And we need to have inflection points where you start out as an individual and you grow. The person you need to become is not the person that started the journey. And I think that's where people need to understand, need to be conscious, and need to be aware about it. And having an accountability partner like Jake and having an accountability team like in the Jake and Gino community really helped me to grow into the person that I needed to become to start implementing all of Michael's strategies. That's the bottom line. If I didn't, if I was on an island by myself, it wouldn't have happened.
But you also have to understand, because you said something which is could be misinterpreted by the folks who were listening to us. You said, I knew I could get a manager to do that. I could get a manager to do that. I could get so-and-so to do that. I could get so-and-so to do that, which leads somebody to believe it's the person you've got to do that.
I'm glad you corrected me. Thank you.
Go ahead. It's not the person.
It's the system. Yes.
Because if you just turned around and said, well, I'll get a really great manager. I'll get a really great gardener, I'll get a really great, et cetera, and so forth, you're screwed. Because you can't find a really great manager. You can't find a really great gardener. And if you even do find a great gardener, it then becomes dependent upon him, upon her, as opposed to upon the system that you've designed in order for the gardening to get done the way it needs to get done in every single unit you own and every single unit you create. There's a system underlying everything you do. I'm presuming that's true of Jake and Gino, that there's a system emerging underneath everything that you do. And therefore, your property is systems dependent, not people dependent. And because it's systems dependent, what needs to happen on Monday at 2 happens on Monday at 2. It's called the Monday at 2 thing. It happens Monday at 2, always Monday at 2. And you can monitor Monday at 2 because it in the system, it reminds you that Monday at 2, X happens. And it happens every Monday at 2 in every piece of property we've got. Now, just think about that for a moment, folks who are listening to it, to us here, that it's the Monday at 2 thing. You have many, many different Monday at 2 things. Tuesday at 6, Friday at 7, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And because you do, you can depend upon it to happen because your people are trained to utilize the Monday at 2 system and so forth and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Michael, we call that our cadence of accountability, actually. And the beautiful thing about that is it takes thinking out of the process and you're able to just go and follow the yellow brick road. And that's what makes it so much easier because there's high level things that we all have to think about. And if we're not wasting brain power wondering what's coming up Monday at 2, it actually frees our minds up to be more creative. And I think that's been a huge benefit over time for the growth of the organization. Yeah.
Well, you read the book.
I read the book. I read the book.
So what can I do? Everybody, don't even have to listen to us. Just read the freaking book.
It's a lot more entertaining to listen to us. But Michael, you mentioned systems, and there's a beautiful thing about systems and a not so beautiful thing. The beautiful thing is you can set them and forget it. But the not so beautiful thing is they're constantly evolving. And I love to create systems. There's one system and they're constantly evolving and they're constantly growing and you're adding to them. But like you said, anybody that you, for instance, if you want to take away a person's job, right? And I'm doing an executive administrator's job, and I want to build that job system out. I can build that job system out. And when they come in, the system is there, but then there's always duties and tasks and responsibilities that are added to that system, and it's growing and it's living. And that's what I love about it. And for me, it's exciting to build that out because it's, you know, delegate and dictate it to them. And it's part of the system. They know where they need to go. Cause like Jake said, there is a blueprint for them to do that work.
Absolutely. So systems development is a critical system in every company.
Mm-hmm.
And that is your systems are emerging, improving continuously.
Mm-hmm.
So when you said take thinking out of it, you're putting thinking in it, but you're putting thinking in it in the most productive manner that thinking can be done. You're working on the system, the entire system, the network of systems that operate your organization, and you're looking at them from above and seeing the failure of some of those systems to actually produce the best outcome that you're constantly pursuing.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better way. The two of you have to be saying that all the time.
Oh,
there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better way. What's missing in this picture? What's missing in this picture? And as you do that, it creates intelligence of a completely different sort. And that intelligence is infectious. It, in fact, is the harbinger of real enthusiasm. And so your people can become immensely enthusiastic about what they do every day because it's intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
You understand, we're saying exactly the opposite of stupid. We're saying it's intelligent. It's an intelligent system. It's an intelligent way of working through the day. And as you teach your people that, your people get to grow.
Mm-hmm. Michael, that's a great point. One thing that really elevated Jake and I's business a couple of years ago is we actually sat down and created core values and a mission statement so our people could have something to follow. And they're not boilerplate. They're not something that you just write down. It's not a marketing message. It's really our core values. People first, extreme ownership, make it happen, growth mindset, and unwavering ethics. Those are our core values, and Jake and I live by them. So our people, whether it's our vendors, our investors, our education students, our residents, our employees, they all know what our core values, and they all permeate through it. And that's, you know, I think that's something important that every company, every visionary, every entrepreneur needs to have in their business. Don't you agree?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Meaning you're real people.
Yes.
So effectively, you understand leaders have to have core values they operate by every day. Mm-hmm. And it's not sufficient to have core values. You have to communicate your core values continuously. Mm-hmm. You have to demonstrate through the communication of your core values when something doesn't work, that it doesn't work because it's in conflict with a core value. Mm-hmm. Let me show you what I mean. Let me show you what I mean. Let me show you what I mean. And let me show you what I mean, because it, in fact, is the cause for the success we've had. Mm-hmm. When we didn't communicate our core values, when we weren't even clear what they were, our success was a sometime thing. Mm-hmm. One day I'd make a good pizza, the next day I'd make a lousy pizza. Mm-hmm. I couldn't even explain why, with the same tomato, the same pepperoni, the pizza sucked. I couldn't even tell you why, because there was no core value expressed in that pizza. That pizza wasn't an expression of my belief system. Mm-hmm. That pizza was simply something I made when I went to work every day. I'm the pizza guy. I'm the pizza guy. I'm the pizza guy. Mm-hmm. Something had to change. We read the book, and that jarred that sensibility that was residing there in each of you, in any case. You understand, you wouldn't have gotten the book if you weren't ready to get the book. Mm-hmm. In short, you could read the book and it would go right in one ear and out the other. But there was a hunger in each of you when you read that book for what the book said. The book simply gave you a way to think about it. Mm-hmm. I didn't give you the energy. I didn't give you the passion. I didn't give you the interest. I didn't give you all that was required for you to go out and do it. All I gave you was the way to think about it. And the process, the way to think about it, the E-Myth systemology, the way to think about it, literally transformed how you thought and what you ended up doing. Became just a slam dunk from that point on.
I love that. You talked about the entrepreneur having to have core values. What else makes an entrepreneur great? We have great entrepreneurs and we have terrible ones. What is the difference between a great one and a terrible one?
Well, it's very simple. It's the system, stupid. Mm-hmm. I mean, I repeat it and I repeat it and I repeat it and I repeat it. It's the system, stupid. If there is no system, stupid, then we're stupid, stupid. Mm-hmm. Because we can't constantly be doing it ourselves. It has to have an intelligence all its own. That's the system at the heart of it. It has to possess an intelligence all its own. Mm-hmm. Understand, it's your job to design, build, launch, and grow that system, that universal operating system that lives at the heart of all your properties. Mm-hmm. Hear me, lives at the heart of all your properties. Before you bought those properties, it didn't. When you bought those properties, it immediately did. Mm-hmm. So prior to your buying those properties, there was no operating system. There was just a property, mm-hmm, with all of the things a property has, mm-hmm, and all the things a property doesn't. Mm-hmm. In fact, the best opportunities in the world are properties that have no systems, because you know that they are not garnering the optimal results that your properties can and will do. Mm-hmm. You're looking for property that's systems less. And in the process, you then install your system, which transforms those properties into the money machine they can become and into the place people enjoy living. So it's something also that's important. It's the people who are living in those properties, working in those properties, experience a shift in the state of their being simply because of the intelligence that's been applied to the system's development that is so crucial to their success. Like, is that not true?
Yes. We call those properties mom and pops. And we've been buying mom and pops for the last 7 years. They have no website. They have no background checks. They have no maintenance. It's just running like a, we would say, a shit show. And we look for those opportunities because they were Gino. They were the pizza guy 10 years ago. And they're the ones that are out there. They're burned out. They don't want to be there anymore. And they see no way around. And it's them doing what Jake was doing 10 years ago. So those are the opportunities out there, everyone who's investing in multifamily. It's important that
you think they'd catch on.
No, but they look at it as an investment and not a business. That's the biggest problem. So you have these people that are like, oh, multifamily apartments are great to get into. I'm going to put my money there. But they don't understand that it's a business. And Gino, that's only half the equation. That's the mom and pop neglecting it. But then when you pile on our Blue Ocean strategy, it makes it completely different. Because Michael, ultimately, we want to be the Chick-fil-A of apartments. We see a huge need for high-end customer service. My pleasure to serve you, a servitude attitude. And that's what we really bring to the table, because ultimately folks have not been taken care of in many of these communities that we've purchased. So walking through and teaching our folks about NPS scores and creating a customer journey that separates ourselves has really been the difference maker and why we've seen our success.
That's absolutely super. When I said you'd think they'd catch on, you'd think that somebody in your business would look at what you've done and say, holy cow, they took a lousy piece of property and turned it into a great property. Why don't I do that? Mm-hmm. You would think everybody would catch on. Mm-hmm.
It's worth it.
The problem is they don't.
Yeah.
They simply don't. Isn't that wonderful? They're leaving it all to you.
Yeah, we'll take it.
I do like that. You know, Jake and Gino, we say that we create multifamily entrepreneurs because you're investing in apartments and you're buying an asset. But at the end of the day, you're creating a business within a business. You're buying these assets for the scalability, for the economies of scale. And that's the true, I guess, desire of investing in apartments over single family homes, because single family homes is a lot harder to scale. They're spread out. You can still scale them. People do. But in the apartment space, it's so much easier to do that. Michael, I was wondering if you could just really quickly talk to the people.
Let me say one thing.
Sure.
Though you said the business. I want you to change that today from the business to the enterprise.
I'm going to write that down right now, Jake. You writing it down, bro?
Got it.
You have an enterprise. You don't have a business any longer. A business is a step on the way to an emerging enterprise. Take that name now.
Limiting belief.
You'll instantly see the difference.
Yes, it's a limiting belief. Maybe I'm afraid to call myself an enterprise because maybe I might sabotage myself and say I don't deserve to have an enterprise, right?
So I got it.
Now my mindset is...
Think of the emerging process. Mm-hmm. We call it the job, the practice, the business, the enterprise. The job is the client fulfillment system. The practice is the franchise prototype, lead generation, lead conversion, client fulfillment. The business is nothing other than up to 7 turnkey practices. And the enterprise is nothing other than up to 7 turnkey businesses, 49 practices. So whatever form your practice is in, that might be a building with, you follow me, a property with 13 units, property with 17 units, whatever the hell it is. You're replicating that turnkey practice into a turnkey business, into a turnkey enterprise. Mm-hmm. The minute you think enterprise, you've expanded far beyond the state of the business.
That is awesome.
So take that home with you today.
Well, that's a freebie. Thank you.
It's a freebie for everybody. But Jake, I want Michael to discuss those three phases of the business, because I want this for all of the listeners out there to see what phase they're in, and maybe it can help them shed light and have that aha moment that I just had. You have the infancy, the adolescence, and the maturity. Can you go over those just real quick for us?
Well, infancy is obviously the beginning stage.
Mm-hmm.
It's where you're doing it. In infancy, you were the business. You bought a piece of property and you showed up every day to clean this the hall, to fix the garbage, to do all the things you did. That's infancy. Adolescence is the next emerging state. You now have three pieces of property, and you're still doing it, but you've come to that state to say, I can't do this anymore. There's got to be a better way. In adolescence, you suddenly realize there's got to be a better way. Mm-hmm. Maturity is where you're applying that better way. And so understand, you've reached a state of maturity in your enterprise where you're now multiple units. The units are being operated systemically. Mm-hmm. They're producing optimal results from a financial perspective, from a human perspective, from an operating perspective. And you're now prepared to grow your enterprise significantly. In one respect, you can think of a business as a district, where you have seven McDonald's hamburger stands in that district. The enterprise is the region, and the region is up to seven districts. The enterprise now can be replicated as region number two, region number three, region number four. You follow me?
Yes.
So your geographic, I presume.
Two regions right now.
I'm sorry?
I said we're in two regions right now.
Okay. You have two regions. Yep. You're now going to think regionally. You're replicating a region. A region is going to possess a certain number of properties. Mm-hmm. No more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Because any more than that, it becomes unwieldy.
We've learned that.
And so your region has a specific number of units and a specific management system and a leadership system that enables it to flourish. You're now going to open region number three, region number four, region number five. Right now, you should be addressing where those regions are. So on your expansion map, on your map, your enterprise expansion map, you should already have identified where you're going to go next. Now hear me, as you begin to think about going there next, you also have to think about organizing here now.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're now going to organize region number one and region number two to be prepared for you to go to region number three, region number four, five, six, seven, et cetera, and so forth. You're truly growing your enterprise.
That is awesome.
Really important.
Mm-hmm.
From a infancy, adolescence, mature state of mind.
I love that. Last question before the short answers. And I know you've got a great initiative. Could you speak about your initiative about the speaking tour that you're going to be?
I want to say one other thing.
Sure.
About that. Everybody makes the same mistake. And you have as well. Now, understand, I just met you. So how could I possibly?
We make every mistake. So I guarantee it's the case. And
say, we're not ashamed. You have as well. I'm saying you and Jake have made the same mistake. You go into a different business. Hear me.
Mm-hmm.
The greatest mistake in the world is you go into a different business as opposed to growing your main business. Mm-hmm. So you begin to see.
You got to hit this again. Say it again for everybody. You got to hit this one.
Into a different business. You get attracted by a different business. Well, we could do this. Well, we could do that. Well, we could do this. Well, we could do that. And you piss away all of the energy that should be devoted to growing your enterprise into growing another business. Mm-hmm. The worst mistake in the world, which I'm essentially saying when you talk about your education business and your et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, I'm saying, why in the hell are you in the education business? Because you're never going to be in the education enterprise. You're just going to be doing it in this little fun education business, when in fact you should be looking at region number 4, region number 5, region number 7, region number. Why did you do all this work in growing from infancy to adolescence to maturity, if only to piss away your maturity by beginning in infancy all over again in something else? Mm-hmm. Well, we like to. That's the worst reason in the world. So I'm suggesting you are sitting in a very significant space, and that's in the real estate space that you're in, that is going to provide you with an infinite opportunity for growth nationwide, worldwide, to transform the state of multiple unit ownership worldwide. Think about that. Mm-hmm. You suddenly don't have time, space, room, interest in anything else, because your intelligence lives in the maturity of your first two regions. Your job is to replicate regions, guys. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? To replicate regions. Yeah, but that's going to take so much time, so much energy, so much work. Begin to think like a technician again. doing it. No, I'm talking about true enterprise wealth. Mm-hmm. You have the opportunity to do that. So I'm going to recommend to you, as your consultant of the hour, get out of every business you're in. Every one of them. Sell them and stay in the business you've paid your dues to be in.
Gino, we just got hit in the gut.
Well, I hope so.
It's a tough one. You know what? The funny thing though is, if we didn't have the education business, I wouldn't be having this amazing conversation with Michael Gerber. If we didn't have the education business, I wouldn't be having the opportunity to acquire the last three properties. So there is a challenge, there's a struggle. If we didn't have the business,
Gino, hear me, Gino. You're just giving me the justification for your education business. Forget about that justification. You could have a conversation with Gerber without ever being, in quotes, in the education business. I have a phone.
Well, you know, there's so many opportunities. I tend to agree with you, but there's so many opportunities that the education business has allowed us. It's allowed us the credibility. It's allowed us.
Yeah. Gino.
I'm going down a rabbit hole. I see what you're saying.
You're sucking wind, Gino. Yeah. This is yes, but time. Yeah. I've heard yes, but by the most brilliant of them. Yeah, but Michael, you don't understand. Yeah, but
I didn't
Michael,
say you don't understand. I would never say that.
if it weren't for yeah, but Michael, and it goes on and on and on and on. I've heard them all. I've heard every single one of them. There's only one answer for you. Hear me. One answer. And that is the business you're truly in.
No. I'm calling bullshit. It's the enterprise that we're truly in.
Yes, thank you.
Taking that to the bank. And with that being said, we're going to take a short commercial break.
You got it, guys. You got it. It's time for you two to sit down together and to have an earnest enterprise conversation. And you're going to come up against it. I swear you're going to. Yes, but is going to live and well everywhere on the planet. Yeah, but I love the education business. Yeah, and if it weren't for the education, and on and on and on, it just goes on and on and on. Mm-hmm. Hear me. There's a lot of people needing your education in your enterprise. In your enterprise. So you'll have this meeting once a week, this Jake and Gino call to the enterprise for everybody who you're connected with in your enterprise to have this conversation, this continuing evolving conversation about who we are and what we do and why we do it and what then. And why region number 4 is coming up, and then region number 5, and then region number 7, and region number 26. You understand? Mm-hmm. Just like McDonald's, 37,000 stores.
Stay in your lane, baby.
37,000 stores.
6 billion in
counting. 37,000 freaking stores.
I'm more of a Chick-fil-A guy, Michael, but I hear you.
Give me a break, guys.
Hey, let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsor.
Are you looking for ways to improve your life?
Here at Jake and Gino, our mission is to empower students through financial education and the vehicle of multifamily investing.
Yes, Jake. We agree that a person with financial intelligence can change the world for the better.
We've created our proprietary 3-step framework, Buy Right, Manage Right, and Finance Right, that we teach to our community. This framework, along with education, our one-on-one mentorship, on-site boot camps, and the amazing community has propelled our students to massive success.
We've all been there. We've had so many students that have been able to shift their mindset, overcome limiting beliefs, and set a clear path to achieve their goals. Whether you're currently fixing and flipping, wholesaling, or buying single-family rentals, and you know that multifamily investing is the right vehicle for you, I encourage you to visit jakeandgino.com/apply to schedule your complimentary consultation with our team. And I want to let you know, this isn't a high pressure sales call. It's really just a discovery call to get to know each other better and see if we're a good fit for working together. And if for any reason we're not a good fit, our team has tons of resources we will share with you to help you along your journey.
If you're ready to stop spinning your wheels, go to jakeandgino.com/apply and schedule your call now. All right, we are back. And Michael, I've been chomping at the bit to ask you this question. And I think the worst thing that Gino and I have done from the beginning is we waited too long to hire people because we thought we couldn't handle the expense. What do you say to folks that are waiting to make that first, second, third hire because they're pinching pennies when really that's preventing them from growing?
I say, stop waiting.
Keep it simple, stupid.
Stop waiting. Create a system.
How do you get them over the hump, though? Because it's
create a system. Create a system. Create a system. Yeah. Create a system. Create a system. The system will tell you when it's time. The system will tell you when it's time. The system is never wrong. The system will tell you when it's time, and then you do it. The system picks the next person. The system trains that next person. The system prepares that next person to grow to their next position. In short, everything is a system, everything. And when you see that, well, yeah, but, all of that is simply reflective of the absence of a system because you're operating from your feelings, how you feel about it, how you feel about it. And whenever you hear, yeah, but, you know, the system isn't working. Mm-hmm. You're operating based upon how you're feeling in that particular moment. Forget about how you're feeling. How you're feeling is the worst determinant of how you must behave. Mm-hmm. It's a great book. You might want to read it. It's a difficult book. It's by Ray Dalio.
Principles.
A book, Principles.
I love it.
You have that book.
3 times I read it.
Yeah.
And I can't even read.
Great, great, great book. And he talks about feeling. And throughout the book, it's not how I feel about it. Mm-hmm. It's how I think about it. It's not how I feel about it. It's how I think about it. And that turns all your feelings into thinking. So the logic of growth becomes paramount to the wisdom of growth, which rules the day, and the system underlying each and every component piece of that process is what will create region number 3, number 4, number 5, number 7, number 22, number 68, et cetera, and so forth. You're creating wealth, guys. Mm-hmm. You're creating wealth by expanding on what you know.
You get me fired up right now. I'm loving this. I am absolutely loving this. All right. On the personal habit side of things, I love speaking to high-level folks like yourself. Anything that you do on a weekly or a daily basis, a personal habit that has led to your success?
No. Yeah, I'm sure there is, but let's not talk about it, okay?
Oh, he's gonna he's big into what is the cannabis oil now? He doesn't want to go there, Gino. He's out in California. He doesn't want to tell us about the secret sauce.
I'm sure there is, but let's not talk about it. Read the book. It's just read the freaking book. It's just say to everybody, read the freaking book. And then this conversation is pointless. But you hear me, there was something that happened in this meeting. Everyone watched this. Everyone watching this interview watched this. Something happened in this meeting. We went from a business to an enterprise. But not only that, we got rid of all the other distractions from the enterprise you're in. And in the process of getting rid of all of those other distractions, all the sweet things you really enjoy spending your energy on, instead of investing your energy and intelligence in, it will cost you the future of your enterprise. Hear me. Every day you do all those other things costs you the future of your enterprise. You can become the Ray Kroc of, you understand? You can become the Ray Kroc of, but only by doing that one thing.
Staying
so
in the lane,
rule
baby.
Of the day is, you got it. Think one thing.
No shiny objects.
One thing.
There's no Bitcoin under that hat, is there?
I'm sorry?
There's no Bitcoin rumbling under that hat, is
no,
there?
No, no.
No, so no. I was going to ask you about book suggestions and some other personal things, but I don't think that's so much, you know.
Yeah, read the Bible. Read the Bible and read my book and forget about everything else.
clear out of the way. So here's the last question. How can folks get a hold of you? I'm sure they can get the book on Amazon. Give us the website and how to join the crew if they're interested.
Well, just look it up. The E-Myth Revisited. I mean, just look it up. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to give you a place to go. My God, any dummy can do that.
You'd just be surprised.
Go to Amazon and buy the freaking book.
Get the book on Amazon.
And if you want to really transform your life, then you go to michael@michaelegerbercompanies.com. michael@michaelegerbercompanies.com. And that will take you to a space where we will then provide you with what we call the eightfold path to grow your company of one to a company of 1,000. That's what everybody gets to do. So you go to michael@michaelegerber.com, michael@michaelegerber.com, and be serious, because we don't fool around. Be serious. I want to do what Jake and Gino have done. I want to do what Jake and Gino have done, and we'll help you do it.
I must say, I truly enjoyed this today. You keep it real. You don't pull any punches, and there's true value and experience here. So number one, thank you for your time. And number two, G-Dad, give us a recap.
So Michael Gerber started his first business in the late 1970s. And over the last 40 years plus, he's transformed the lives of hundreds of thousands, and he's reached millions of people. He's this, he actually defined what a technician is. Looking at myself in the mirror, I pull back and become a technician.
Guilty.
Let me tell you something, everybody. Go back and listen to this, because this is truth seeker. I mean, you know, you really need to shed those limiting beliefs, because if two guys like Jake and Gino can do it, a pharmaceutical rep and a pizza guy, they can do it, then you can do it. And listen, job, practice, business, enterprise. The goal is to create an enterprise. And if you want to learn how to create an enterprise, visit Michael Gerber's website. Read the book with an open mind and contact him. It's as simple as that. That's all I got, Jake.
You can read the book with a closed mind. Doesn't matter.
Or you can get the Audible like I did.
Guys, thank you.
Michael, a true pleasure. Michael. Thank you so much for your time.
A pleasure. And what did I say?
Enterprise and clear the path. No shiny objects. Stay in your lane.
You got it, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Michael. Bye.